Well, Proverbs chapter 7, we're going to talk about the simple man here. Back in the book of Proverbs, and the strange woman and the simple man. Boy, it sounds like a weird story, doesn't it? Strange woman, simple man. But this simple young man here, we're going to read some verses. I won't, for sake of time, I won't read the whole chapter because we did the last sermon here. So you understand the context, I believe, here in what's going on. And this will be the fifth sermon in that. Brother Ickes asked me, he goes, how in the world do you preach series so fast? I said, well, when you preach three times in a week, I just keep going with the same. Hey, if you're learning something, I'm going to keep going with the same thing. Amen. And if the Lord leads, and just preach it out, preach the whole thing out and get it out there. Amen. So, so Proverbs chapter 7, verse number 1, my son, keep my words and lay up my commandments with thee. Keep my commandments and live and my laws, the apple of thine eye. Bind them upon thy fingers. Write them upon the table of thine heart. Say unto wisdom, thou art my sister, and call understanding thy kinswoman. That they may keep thee from the strange woman, from the stranger which flattereth with her words. For at the window of my house I looked through my casement and beheld among the simple ones. I discerned among the youths a young man, void of understanding. Solomon here, he said, I looked at one of the simple ones. I saw a group out there, he says, and I beheld among the simple ones. It's a group of young men that are out there doing in a place and a time they should not be there. They're congregating together. I want you to notice some of the things here that's being said. These young people are not at home with their parents. They're kind of ganged up together, these young men, and they're standing around, and we're going to see what they're doing. This in the twilight, in the dark of the night, where all the crime happens, most of it, where most of the wicked things happen. You know, I like that. I think everybody should read that. I don't know if I agree with every principle in it, but the theme of staying in the castle, so to speak, that theme of staying together with your family or being there, you know, listen. I know what is taught today. Well, you get 16, you get a license. Well, maybe not in my home. Why? Oh, because that's what the government, why? Just because somebody says, a government agent says you're allowed to, doesn't mean I say you're allowed to. Amen. Well, that's just weird. Well, I don't care what you think it is. That doesn't matter to me. You do whatever you want to with your kids. Amen. Maybe I don't want my young lady driving around out there by herself. Maybe I don't want her driving around by herself at that age at all. Maybe I want her to be with her brother or her mother. Solomon called him one of the simple ones. He says, such as are easily persuaded and drawn into sin, simple and foolish in things moral and spiritual, and not arrived to any ripeness of understanding in things natural and civil, have seen but little of the world, but know less of religion, and are easily imposed upon and carried away with the company they keep. Such simple, foolish creatures are followers of Antichrist. They're followers of sin. This young group of people, and I may touch this again, but they're congregated together at the time that they're there. They're simple ones. You know, contrary to what you might think, your children don't need to be running around as teenagers by themselves or out running around with the guys. They don't need to be doing that. Why? Well, they should be hanging out with their father and mother, adults, men. Why? Well, I'm not training them to be 16. I'm training them to be a man. So I'm not training them to act like a kid. Now they're going to be a young person. They're going to be a kid. They're going to have fun. They're going to, you know, all those things are true. But the example that I'm trying to set for them is that of you're going to be a man someday. So who do I want you to hang around? Men. Not little boys. Little boys all together, a child left himself, bring his mother to shame. Little boys all together are going to get in trouble. Now how do you know that? Because I did it. So what could possibly happen? Oh, I can't even tell you. It's not even lawful for me to tell you. Some states, it's probably a felony. Amen? Don't you see here what's being taught? Don't just read through the verse and say, well, it's about a strange woman. Yeah, but look at every aspect of it. He's talking about a group of boys, a group of simple ones. They're all together. They're right there. They're all congregating together. I mean, I did that when I was 12, 13 years old. I ran out in the streets. I'd go till midnight, 11 o'clock, midnight, running around. No, none of my friends had any wisdom either, except worldly wisdom. But no governance, running around. See, what are you trying to do? Keep your child in prison? If I have to. Till the boy can think. Until he has some wisdom. Some might view it as a prison, others may view it as a castle. I view it as protection, guidance. You only have that short amount of time to spend with them, and then they'll go off and be a man. And that time will change in their life. But this simple, so understand there's this group of these simple ones. They're all out there together, and we'll look at the characteristics of where they're at. But that simple means weak in intellect, not wise. Silly. The simple believeth every word, but the prudent looketh well to his goings. If you've ever seen a bunch of teenage boys together, they're pretty silly. See a bunch of teenage girls together, they're even sillier. They just are. Amen? You see a bunch of teenage boys and girls together, and you see a lot of trouble. A whole lot of trouble. Proverbs 19:7, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Well, how do I train that simple young man? Well, they pretty much all come out simple. That's why you have to train them. What do you train them with? The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is pure, making wise the simple. There it is right there. Yeah, they are simple. You're right. Now what do I do? Take the law of the Lord and make wise the simple. It's not hard. It's pretty easy. I mean, it's difficult to be diligent to do it, but the formula is right there for you to do it. The simple believeth every word, but the prudent man looketh well to his going. See, this simple young man believes every word this woman says to her, this older woman. If you don't think this is prevalent today, it's everywhere. There's so many teachers seducing students today and going to prison for it and some getting out of it. And it's very common. In Texas, it's very common. I don't know why in Texas it's so common, but they are. I mean, there's just tons of them there in Texas. You see them on the news all the time. Yeah, they are predators. They are predators. They're strange women. Some of them are married, just like the strange woman here in this story is. Right, right. Right. I have a friend, pastor friend. His wife left him for a 15-year-old. But she seduced this simple young man. She did. With her much fair speech. The simple man could be a boy raised in a Christian home where his father and mother didn't warn him of the strange woman. This simple young man could be a man that has grown up, a young boy that has grown up in a home with no direction, instruction, or correction. Just abiding, just growing up. They'll grow either way. Either way, they get bigger. Either way, they get older. He gets out in the world and he has turned loose, this Christian boy or this boy that was raised in a Christian home, and he has turned loose because he hits the government age of 18 and he's magically mature. Yeah, he's 18. Let's send him off to war. Let's send him off into the world. Let's let the government turn him into a sociopath. Oh boy. Anyway, why send your son off? You really think a boy's mature at 18? Some boys are more mature than others. I'll give you that at 18. You think because 18, so then they can do all this. 18, whew, that's a scary thing for 18-year-olds to vote. It's been extremely, extremely bad. Extremely. So this young man goes out in the world, having been sheltered from much, but never instructed of how to deal with sin and prepare for the attacks of Satan. Listen to me, you can raise your children in an environment separated from sin and not teach them about sin, not teach them how to deal with sin, and they could end up headlong following the strange woman. Why? Because you didn't instruct them how to deal with it when sin comes their way. You can't just isolate them from sin or separate them from sin and not train them how to deal with sin, how to deal with temptation. There's more than just separating from sin. It's separation from sin unto God. When I separate from sin unto God, then this is my rule of life. So, son, the strange woman's going to come to you sometime, and she's going to tempt you with her words. She's going to flatter you with her words. Now, my son, hide my commandments in thine heart. Not because dad said you can't do this because he doesn't want you to have fun, but because the word of God says it's evil. And flee youthful lust, my son. Flee it. The simple believe every word. She wouldn't lie to me. This could be a lady in a Christian home as well. Oh, he wouldn't lie to me. Proverbs 14:18, the simple inherit folly, but the prudent are crowned with knowledge. A prudent man, Proverbs 27:12, a prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself. But the simple pass on. You know, trouble's right there, and I can duck out here. The simple man will head for the trouble. The prudent man will hide himself. Say, nope, I'm not going to look at it. I'm going to stay away from it. Why? Because it's trouble and it's heading my way. This young man is inexperienced. He's not prepared either for the onslaught of temptation that is headed his way. Parents, prepare your children, protect and prepare. The word simple here is used in a bad sense for empty-headed, empty-hearted. He was hanging around a place of danger at a time when the pure in heart would have been seeking the security of their home. In the twilight, in the dark of the night, where is he at? He's not at home. Don't let your young men run around or your young ladies run around at night. Don't let them go run off and to do that. Oh, I got to go hang out with my friends. No, you don't. No, you don't. By the way, let me say this to you. As a husband, I don't go run around at night either. Why? Because there's safety in my family. That's why. I go home. That's where I go. That's where you go too. That's right. I think that boy's going to be a preacher. Yeah, you go with your daddy. That's good. You're supposed to stay with your daddy. Listen. In the twilight, in the dark night, this group of young people gathered around. Where should they be? At home with their parents? Where's their father? Where's their mother? Why is this young man hanging out with a bunch of other young men in the dark of the night? Why is he not at home with his family? Why is he not in the safety of the family structure? That's a husband the same way. Don't need to be running around at night and doing those things, or a wife or anybody else running around. No, safety in the family. That's the structure that God gave you. That's the safe haven of the home that God gave you. Man's going to get himself in trouble running around at night. I did the same thing when I was a kid. I ran around as a teen all over the place at night until midnight. This is a mark of trouble. They that are drunken in the night. This is where the mischief takes place. In the night. With a group of the, I can see myself as a child, as a young child, 13, 14, 15, 16 years old, and I can see myself and a bunch of other kids driving a strip in town. running around, I mean, driving a strip all the way through town. I mean, looking for girls or a fight. Hey, how'd you know? Looking for girls, a fight, drugs, alcohol. By myself, no governance, doing what I want to do. This simple man and his group of friends, it's where the mischief takes place. The good young men of wisdom are home with their parents, not out in the streets running and boozing and on drugs and being bombarded with the temptations of fornication. Why? Well, because if dad found out that some simple woman was, or some strange woman, or mom found out some strange woman was trying to chase you down, and you, or they were trying to impact your life by some way, then they would put an end to it. But here's a good idea. Don't put your children in a position for that to happen. Don't give them that liberty and freedom to run. You say, well, they know that by law they're 18, they can leave. Right? Well, now let's set the next generation and let our children know that we follow the law of the Lord. So you ought to respect and love me, and 18 has nothing to do with me being your father. Let's set an order now and understand what the Bible says, not what the United States filthy, rotten, stinking, bankster-ran government does. Why? Well, because people today follow what the government says instead of what the Bible says. Well, the government says 18, they can do what they want to do. I don't care what they say. It doesn't matter to me. These simple young men, they could have been that age running around. What does it matter what the government says anyway when it comes to that? It matters what the Bible says. Now, if you haven't trained your children, it matters what the Bible says, and they're going to follow that 18, and they're going to run to get the freedom that they want. But what frees them will put them into bondage. And they will be in bondage. But if we train them that doesn't have anything, that 18 means nothing. It means nothing. It only means that you can go to prison if you do something wrong. Yeah, it means nothing. The age means nothing. What means something is I'm your father, and that's your mother, and we brought you into this world by the grace of Almighty God, and we're raising you for Him. That's what matters. It's whatever outside of that doesn't matter. It doesn't make any difference. We really need to get back to being biblical about these things. God's way works. It does work. And it's always right. This young man is a simple man. He is void of understanding. The word simple here is used in a bad sense. He's got that empty-headedness. This young man is void of understanding. A fool who without any deliberate intention of sinning put himself in the way of temptation. He played on the borders of transgression. The way of escape was before him as it was in temptations. But he would not take it. Such a one may well be said of lacking understanding or heart. Just void of understanding. He's void of it. He's not realizing that he's being set up for a trap. That's why he's supposed to seek the law of his mother and his father. That's why it's supposed to be written on his heart. That's why you're supposed to be instructing him and commanding him. Why? So it's real to him and he understands what you're going to face. Out there, young man, the temptations that are going to come your way, young man, you've got to be alert for this, son. You got to be alert for this, daughter. You got to understand what's going to happen out there, what the devil is trying to do, what he will send people to do, what temptation is. You've got to teach them to deal with temptation. And that there's a way out of that temptation. There's always a way out. You know, Joseph was a man that was dealing with a strange woman. Joseph went into his house and he went in to do the daily duties that he had, and all of a sudden this woman, she had tried more and more and more and more to seduce him, and she grabbed onto his coat and it ripped out, and she kept it, and he took off and ran out of there. He got out of the temptation, he ran out, and he got away from it. where it's funny because the scriptures, if you realize, this shows a parallel. He had another brother that didn't leave the temptation, did he? There was a harlot along the way, and it was actually, you know, it was he fell for that. Now we understand the story of who it was and everything else like that. But anyway, Judah didn't regard his God. He ran after the harlot. He ran after her. But we see Joseph not running after her. Joseph understanding the truth and saying, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm not a simple one. Joseph, the Bible says he was full of wisdom. Amen? He was full of that wisdom. What are the evidences of a person that is void of understanding and a simple one? Well, those who throw off the restraints and counsels of their parents and friends, when counsel and supervision are most needed, they are rejected. When they won't listen to their parents, they're a simple fool. Yeah. When they don't listen to that godly counsel, they're just a simple fool. You're dealing with a simple man. Those who become the companion of the foolish and wicked. No other influence will be so disastrous on our highest interest as that of evil companionship. Evil communication corrupteth good manners. Every time. When you see your children having a desire to gravitate towards those that are wicked, time to bring the hammer out. Time to bring the Word of God out and hammer that. And reveal what it really is. The darkness that is there. Those who disregard the opinions of the wise and good around them. They won't listen to instruction. They're a simple fool. Those who neglect the church. The atmosphere of the ordinances is that of health and life to every virtue of their soul. But they want nothing to do with the church. Folks, don't kid yourself, okay? Don't kid yourself. When a man says that he loves God but wants nothing to do with his church, wants nothing to do with his book, wants nothing, his religion is vain. It's empty. It's not real. Could we get over this horse and pony show, this goofball show that goes on here where people actually believe that it's real? You know, the nicest thing you can do, what if they are saved? What if they are? What happens when you look at them and say, man, I'll tell you what, I think you're lost.
Well, you can't judge me.
I just did. Now, you can have two responses to that. The first response would be to get angry. The second response would be to do a reflection on myself and say, why does somebody believe I'm not saved? How poor of a testimony must I be that somebody believes that I'm not saved? One is a contrite and broken heart. The other one is a proud and arrogant one. Which spirit looks real? See, I've met men like that where they showed all those characteristics of being lost but professed to be saved, and I told them they were lost. And they looked at me and they got angry and proud. They looked at the person there and said, well, I don't think they're saved either. See, if you told me you didn't think I was saved and you were somebody that I cared about and I thought you were somebody that loved the Lord and everything like that, and you really didn't think I was saved, that would bother me. It would bother me in the sense that why does somebody feel, what is my testimony saying that they don't believe I'm a child of God? Oh, how miserably have I failed my Savior. What's the Bible say about the sacrifices of a heart? Our broken and contrite spirit. What does he say? That a broken and contrite spirit that will not despise, O Lord? What's the opposite of that? That proud and arrogant spirit. You see, the question, I marvel when people try to defend that stuff, and then you look at this simple fool, the fools that are out there that make those professions, but then you question them on that, and all they give you is arrogance and pride. Like the lady earlier this week when I told you that sermon that I preached on Wednesday, where she was bragging how much she was saved because she lived in fornication for 3 years. Now, you have to listen to the sermon to understand the exact context of what I said. But in a nutshell, she was defending that, oh, I know I'm saved. I lived for 3 years in fornication. You're not going to tell me I'm not saved. I'm not saying that sin's right or wrong. I'm not saying that's right or wrong. I said, lady, if you don't know that sin, that's right or wrong, you're a lost sinner on your way. You're going to split hell right open, lady. You're going to die and go to hell. That upset her. Not enough to repent, but enough to be bold and say, well, people make mistakes. Living in sin for 3 years is not a mistake for somebody that was raised in a Baptist fundamentalist home that knows the truth. That's not a mistake. Do you understand that? I want you to understand this. That's not a mistake. That's willful rebellion to God. That's not a mistake. A mistake is, whoops, I did this. God forgive me, I'm turning from it. 3 years of that is not a mistake. It's rebellion. And it's no, and pride for it, and no contrite or broken spirit over it. Then I'll show you a man that lived their life like that, but God called them to repentance, and they were broken over it. What did I do? And God called them back home. See, there's a difference in the two. There's a difference. Those who yield themselves up to sensual gratifications, the text refers to the ensnaring woman. For at the window of my house, I looked through my casement. How fearful the result. Money, reputation, health, minds, morals, life, and soul are all sacrificed for feelings. For a fleeting feeling. For passions to be fulfilled for moments. Ruin your whole life. A simple man is one that throws himself in the way of temptation. Snares abound, there is hardly a step in our way in which we do not run some hazard of stumbling. Have we not often complied when we ought to have resisted? Sin is sometimes so artfully disguised that it loses its deformity. And we are insensibly drawn into the commission of it. Is it not then wise and prudent to keep a distance and not tamper with temptation? The old serpent is too cunning and subtle for us, and if we throw ourselves in his way, we must fall. A simple man, when he does not hearken, is one that does not hearken to the admonitions of those who are older and more experienced than himself. Vanity and self-conceit are too natural to young minds, and numbers have been led away by them. Positive and headstrong, they refuse to be admonished and scorn to be controlled. Hence, they run headlong into vice and involve themselves in miseries. Son, don't do that. You're making a mistake. You're going down the wrong road. It's going to lead to trouble. You're getting into trouble. You're leading into the life of sin and wickedness. You're heading off in the wrong direction. The Bible says that's a simple one. It's a void of understanding. The understanding's not there. One who makes light of parental restraints and counsels. No young man is walking in safe paths who is engaged in pursuits of pleasures which a wise father or tender mother would be mortified and grieved to see him mixed up with. It's foolish. Void of understanding. One who is content to live an idle, aimless life, to spend the golden hours of existence in irresolution and idleness with no definite purpose, betrays as much as anything could do the lack of good sense. Too much time, too much idle time. One who neglects the cultivation of his mind, if knowledge is power, ignorance is weakness. One who makes light of religion. Religion never encouraged anybody to be indolent and improvident, never led him into the haunts of vice, never wasted his substance in riotous living, never dragged a single victim to the prison or the gallows. All its offices in the world have been elevating and benefit. Unbelief is not a misfortune, but it is a sin, the damning sin of the world. Men first do wrong and then believe wrong in order to escape from its consequences. True religion will make you abhor sin and draw you to Christ, the Redeemer. It will strengthen you for duty and nerve you for endurance. It will give songs in the night and through the grave and gate of death. It will brighten your pathway to eternal glory. That's the work of true faith. This man is void of understanding, destitute of a heart. He had not wisdom to discern the evil intended, nor courage to resist the flatteries of the seducer. The perilous man is without understanding. It's a sign of the times, but this young man is simple and void of understanding. He could have avoided all this had he not been hanging with the simple ones. You better wonder if the young people, when they grow up, they want to hang around with men of a baser sort. Men that are not trained in the Bible and men that don't love the Lord. They shouldn't be hanging out with them. They should have no desire to hang out with them. In fact, it should repulse them that those men are like that. They should not want to be around them. What's the Bible say? Jeremiah 5:5. I will get me unto the great men, and I will speak unto them, for they have known the way of the Lord and the judgment of their God. But these have altogether broken the yoke and burst the bonds. What is he saying there? I want to go to the great men. I'm not going to hang around the basement. I'm going to go to the ones that love the Lord. The ones that know the way of the Lord. Those are the men that I want to hang around. Those are the men that you have to lead. Those are the men you want in your church. Those are the men that you want to edify one another with and build each other up with. Those are the men that you need. You are not an island unto yourself like you think you are. That's why God had the body of Christ there. That's what the purpose of it is to edify and join one another and strengthen one another. If you think you can do it on your own, you're going to find out what the results are. You will find out what the results are. Churches spend too much time separating the youth into their own class and away from the men. They need to be around men and learn from them, the great men, the men that love God. Men's meetings, street preaching, and all kinds of things. They don't need Twizzler contests and bozo show games. I'm telling you, folks, don't you understand this? People get mad when you talk about this, but whether it's the vacation Bible times or all the things that they do with the games, the prizes, the shows, and everything else, you ever think God's looking down from heaven and looking and saying, this is really what you turned my house into? Really? This is what the people of God are? Really? Why didn't Jesus, why didn't Jesus do any of it? Why didn't he do it? He could have done a lot of good stuff. I mean, man, you want to talk about a promotion now? He could have done one. He could have been like, if you bring 100 visitors, you can walk on water with me. Why didn't he do all those things? If we're supposed to do all, if all those things work, then why didn't Christ do them? Why didn't the Apostle Paul do them? And then America has exported that all over the world now, and it's everywhere. Missionaries do it everywhere around the world. So the church looks silly to me. I'm sorry, the churches look silly. They look silly. I'm all for having fun and doing things, but the church is never about that in the Bible. It's never about what you're feeling and the fun. I mean, I think it brings joy to my heart to be in the assembly of the saints. Amen. To hear the preaching of God's word, to hear other men preach, to go street preaching, to serve God, to see you work and serve together, and ladies to do the work that they do. That brings joy to my heart to see that. That's where I want to be. But I don't need a bunch of games to attract people in to do those things. But that's what we've turned everything into today. That's what everything's about. I have to please them. I have to entertain them. All those kids won't come. Well, then maybe they're not supposed to be there. Maybe you're supposed to go out to them. Maybe you're supposed to go out to them. What's wrong with that? It's actually New Testament. Read Ephesians 4. That's the purpose of the church. I didn't make it up. God did. But young people spend more time with friends. It's overrated. They don't need that. It turns into a bunch of simple ones. They take their advice from their friends. What were the young men supposed to do in the Bible? Shut up and listen. Amen. Listen. Learn. Keep silence. Look at Job's friend, the youngest one. Man, he waited all the way to the end. Man, he waited for all these elders to speak, and he didn't want to say a word. He was like, man, I don't even want to do this. But he was led by God to do it. And by the way, he wasn't reproved either for that. But he listened all the way through. He didn't speak, he listened. What do we have today? A bunch of young people what they're doing, it's total opposite of the principles of Scripture. But we've gotten so far away from this book that we can't figure any of that out. when a preacher says something like that, it looks crazy. Well, you just don't. You always have a problem with everything. That's what your problem is. I've heard that on faith. You would just have a problem with everything. Everything that's not biblical, yes. And sometimes things that are biblical because I'm wrong. Why? Why do we think, why can't we just read it for what it says and follow it? What's wrong with keeping it simple? And making the simple wise. Young people spending more time with their friends, they don't need to be with the simple ones. The devil in his world is doing his best to keep the family away from each other. He's done quite well with it too, by the way. He has ministers that work with him. Proverbs 7:22, he goeth after a straight way, and as an ox goeth to the slaughter, or to a fool, to the correction of the stocks. As a senseless and stupid as that is, and as ignorant of the issue as it is, led by the butcher as if it was going to a pasture when it is going to the slaughterhouse. So such persons are as ensnared by harlots. They follow them in view of pleasure, but it ends in ruin. If not in the loss of bodily life, but the revengeful husband or civil magistrate. We're going to talk about that at the end of the simple man, the next hour. He's like a drunken fool. Just right to the stocks, heading to the slaughter. They didn't understand it. What happened? He's with a bunch of these young men. He's not with his family. His heart is not towards home. His heart is in the world. So he follows the world. And it leads to the world's natural end. Death. Death. Satan is the god of this world. And when you follow this world, Satan ends in death. His world, and the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever.